Son to be our sacrifice, to be our atonement. Lord, we thank you for redemption that we have in Christ. We thank you for that precious blood which cleanses us and makes us righteous before you. Lord, we also thank you for the opportunity to come and pray to you, Lord, and that you hear us, and that you gladly hear us. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us this morning. May you open our ears and our hearts to your word. May we hear you speak to us through it. May you bless it this day as it is proclaimed publicly. And may it make a difference in each of our lives. And may we grow more fond of our Christ and become more like him through your word. We do pray these things in the name of our Savior and for his sake. Amen.
Through 2017, we have seen great turmoil and much grief over the landscape of this place we call home. This Veterans Day weekend, 2017, I'd like to read an article written by Lieutenant General Rick Lynch, U.S. Army retired, West Point graduate, a veteran. Leadership Principles from an American General and Work Hard in Action. This was published September 29th.com. I am absolutely amazed at the amount of a knee in protest during the playing of our national anthem. With knees and turn to God in prayer. As retired risk, we have active external threats from Russia, North Korea, and ISIS. We have internal threats from domestic terrorists, a general lack of respect for law enforcement, and an epidemic of divisive people trying to pit Americans against one another. With all of these problems affecting the nation we love, why are we giving so much attention to a few peaceful protesters on football fields? I can only come to one conclusion. We have lost our focus as a nation. Turning to God can help us regain that focus. I happen to be Christian. I spend time every morning reading the Bible. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God tells us, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and I will heal their land." Isn't that what most of these protesters are after? Don't they want to, quote, heal the land, unquote? The Bible tells us how we can go about that. So let's do it. Let's pray. Because frankly, we need all the help we can get. Believe me, prayer is a whole lot more effective than dropping to one knee and making people upset for what just may be the wrong reasons. Because truly, all that this taking a knee business is doing now is taking everybody's eyes off the ball. The actor Denzel Washington, in videotaped remarks to young actors, recommended that we all put our shoes deep under our bed at night so that in the morning we have to get down on our knees to retrieve them. And since we are down there anyway, thank God for grace and mercy and understanding. I like Washington's advice. For those who don't pray regularly, it's an easy way to start. In all of the most difficult times in my life, I have dropped to my knees and turned to my God in prayer. When commanding soldiers in combat, I found myself praying continuously. When my family or friends are facing difficult times, I drop to my knees and pray for them. And guess what? It works. God answers all prayers, and He certainly answered mine. Sometimes His answer is no, sometimes His answer is not right now. And I won't say it's always easy to understand the choices God makes, but my prayers have all been answered one way or another. The more of us God hears from, the more effective our collective prayers will be. If you aren't exactly sure how to pray, try this. First, thank God for all He has done for you as an individual. If you are a professional athlete, thank God for all the God-given talents you are currently using to make a living playing sports. Thank God that you live in a country where you are free to worship as you like and can enjoy all sorts of other profound freedoms on a daily basis. Then, commit to God to use your talents and privileges to help those less fortunate. And finally, ask God to heal and protect our country. Pray to God to step in and address whatever it is you might be otherwise complaining about on Facebook or protesting on the football field. Believe me, prayer is a whole lot more effective than dropping to one knee and making people upset for what just may be the wrong reasons. Because truly, all that this taking a knee business is doing now is taking everybody's eyes off the ball. After all, no football team ever won a game without focus. And as a nation, we aren't going to win the battles we are fighting for unless we regain some focus. The last thing I have to say about this is the next time you hear our national anthem, remember our obligation as American citizens to respect our laws. The U.S. Code, the official compilation of federal statutes, states in Title 36, during a rendition of the national anthem, individuals in uniform should give the military salute. All other persons present should face the flag and stand at attention with their right hand over their heart. Focus, people. Focus on what matters. And if you need help figuring out how to do that, I suggest you take both knees and ask for help. I do not know anything about Lieutenant General Rick Lynch, but I do know that we need to be praying and we need to focus. The Oxford Dictionary, my trusty two-volume Oxford Dictionary, defines focus, a noun, the center of attention, activity, or greatest energy. Focus is a noun, the center of attention, activity, or greatest energy. Focus as a verb, make converge to, bring into focus, to concentrate on. There are many, many things going on about us that hinder our focusing on what we truly need to be focusing on. And those things vary from individual to individual. And what are some of the things that distract us in 2017? What are some of the things that distract you?
Phones.
Oh, phones. Yeah, I remember the days of the rotary phone when I was growing up. Water Avenue in Selma. You walked in the front door and turned to the left, and we had this little bench that had a very small table on it, and on that table sat the telephone. It didn't go anywhere else. It stayed on that little bench. You couldn't carry it very far. The cord was only like 4 feet. But that was the phone. The phone rang. You went and answered it. Today, we take our phones with us. And the phone is more than a phone. I don't know why they call it a phone. It's less of a phone than anything, because we do way more other things with it than actually carry on a conversation. And think about that. What do we do mostly with our phone? We don't talk. What are some other things that can distract us? What are some other things that do distract us in 2017?
News reports.
Entertainment? Yes. We love to be entertained. We're not any different than the Romans. We love entertainment daily. News reports. Oh, yes. I don't even know why I go and check the news every day. For years, it was a habit of mine to watch the 10 o'clock news. I did that every single night. I didn't take the newspaper, but I watched the 10 o'clock news. It was just something I did. I can't tell you the last time I watched 10 o'clock news. It's probably been 10 years. I don't need to watch the 10 o'clock news. I can go online and watch it as long as I'm awake. And some days, it's hard to not want to check the news every couple of hours, depending on what's going on. And the media knows that. And we're not any different from the Athenians as far as that goes, because we just have to hear something new. All the time, we want to hear something new. That's why they call it news. Other things that distract us. What are some other things that distract us?
Work.
Oh, yes. Yes. All the little things that go on in that daily activity we call a job. And many times, we let it become more than a job. And it can be quite distracting. And we spend so much time every day at our job. It's easy to let things related to our work distract us. What else?
Advertisements.
Oh. I have a little bit older version of the iPad Mini. And there are several news websites that I can go to. Two in particular, AL.com and FoxNews.com. And because there are so many ads that pop up on both of those websites, my iPad will not stay on that website longer than about a minute before it crashes and has to reload the web page. And the problem is, it can't be solved. You just have to deal with it or go buy a new iPad Mini. And the reason being, you've got all these ads that pop up. You can't even read the news without being flooded with advertisements. And they've gotten so clever, they can now tie websites that you've gone to your device, and you go to FoxNews.com and it pulls up Mustang parts. Why? Because I may have gone to a website looking for a car part. So, clever. But very distracting. And the internet as a whole can be a distraction. It really can. It can consume hours and hours and hours of our time. But there are many things that distract us. Many things. And in the life of the Apostle Paul, there were many things that could have distracted him. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 23. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. If somebody's trying to kill you, that's a distraction. It's a distraction. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. It's another distraction. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with him at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. A distraction for the Apostle Paul. They're trying to kill me. Chapter 13, verse 48. Conflict in Antioch. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city and raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Persecution. That's a distraction. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them. Yeah, violence going on here. It's a distraction. Or was it? They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, city of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. Verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul. What a distraction. To actually have people stone you. Not only a distraction, but quite painful. Then they dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations — tribulations can be a distraction — we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Chapter 15, verse 25, the Jerusalem Decree. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Risking your life can be a distraction. Chapter 16, verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them. This is in Philippi. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. That could be a distraction. And when they had laid many stripes on them, not just a couple of stripes, many, they beat them over and over again. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. What a distraction. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Excuse me. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. And believe me, he is the only king. The only king, King Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Down in verse 13. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Distraction. Angry mob. Down in chapter 32, after Paul addresses the men of Athens. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. That's a distraction. When you preach your passion and people mock you and make fun of you because of what you're saying. While others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." There were many things happening in the life of Paul that could have been distractions for him. But all that I have read in the book of Acts, I have never read anything that even hints that Paul was distracted. Wherever Paul went, he did the same thing day after day after day. He focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and he focused on preaching Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And there were many, many things that could have distracted Paul, but he did not waver. Focus, the center of attention, activity, or greatest energy. Everything that was going on in Paul's life, he had one center of attention. There was one thing that he brought into focus. There was one thing the Apostle Paul concentrated on. And that one thing was Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Philippians chapter 3. The place where Paul was beaten and thrown into prison. The place where Paul could have been easily distracted. The place where Paul could have given up, said, I'm done with this, Lord. The very place Paul writes this letter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And we read this passage when we looked at the Jerusalem decree regarding circumcision. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. You want to think you can brag? I can brag way more than you can. And Paul was right. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Paul is saying, not only was I a Hebrew, but I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee, I knew the law. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I had great zeal. I tried to kill the church. I hated Christ. I hated his church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Why? Because Christ is what Paul focused on. Not who he was, not who he was born to, not where he was born, not his education, not his standing as a Hebrew among Hebrews. No. These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. What Paul is saying here is, don't focus on the rubbish. And if it's not Christ, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Here's Paul still preaching Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I press on. I focus. I focus. The center of my attention, the center of my activity, the center of my greatest energy. I'm pouring everything, pressing on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Focus. Focus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. Brethren, focus. And note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. If you do not focus on Jesus Christ and his resurrection, then you are the enemy. You're the enemy. whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And oh, the problems we have. Oh, the problems I have when I set my mind on earthly things. And I'm a fool for doing so. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. There he is. He's still preaching Jesus Christ and his resurrection. According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Hebrews chapter 12. Paul, again writing. After he's given us this great chapter on faith. And what is faith? But focusing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And who is that great cloud of witnesses? Go back and read chapter 11. Paul names them. The saints of old. Let us lay aside every weight. Those things that hinder us. Those things that when we're focusing, and we get distracted, and we look aside, and we embrace those things. We embrace those things. Those things that become a weight. They burden us. They hinder us. Why? Because we see them. We're attracted to them. We embrace them. We sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And yes, it is quite easy to lose our focus. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And when you see the runner, he's not looking around. He's looking ahead. He's looking to the finish line. He's looking at the goal. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And here's Paul still preaching Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I have never known a better example of focusing than Paul the Apostle. Other than our Lord, of course. Paul knew what God had called him to do. And that's what he focused on day after day after day. Many things could have distracted him, but they did not, because Paul focused on the Lord. And What am I focusing on? What am I focusing on? What are those things that I allow to hinder me from focusing on Jesus Christ and His resurrection? Much has gone on. Much has even happened this past week that can be a great distraction to us. What am I focusing on? Am I setting my eyes on things that are going on around me? And that's not to say we should be oblivious to what goes on around us. Paul is not that way. What did he do when he went to Athens? What did Paul do when he went to Athens? Acts chapter 15. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 17. Verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw. Paul saw everything that was going on in Athens. The two main things going on in Athens: intellectualism and idolatry. Paul saw both of them. But he didn't let either one of those things change his focus. And we're not to be oblivious to what goes on around us. But if we focus on those things, if we let those things become the center of our attention, the center of our activity, the center of our greatest energy, if we let those things take the place of Christ, then we have greatly sinned. Because like Paul, our focus should be on Him. Let's pray. Please, Father, open our eyes that we would truly see our Lord Jesus Christ, all that He has done for us. Help us, Father, to not be consumed by the world around us. Help us, Father, to not be consumed with our own wicked, sinful selves. But, oh Father, that we would greatly desire to walk day by day with our Lord. And it is in His name that we gather this day. It is in His name that we cry out to You.